Up with the Bonnets podcast is brought to you by Hilltown Electrical. Hilltown Electrical deals with both domestic and commercial jobs. You can find them on Facebook or by contacting them on 07793 847 390.
Hello and welcome to episode 85 of the Up With The Bonnets podcast. I'm your host Daniel Smith, and with me as always is Mr. Paul Gray.
How you doing, Danny? You all right, mate?
Aye, not too bad, mate. To be honest, this weekend's been a bit of a washout. I guess we just better get right into it, to be honest.
Let's just not avoid it. Let's jump right in the deep end, mate.
We're recording this early doors on a Sunday, and we're expecting to speak about the Aberdeen game, which we will go on a bit, but we're also expecting to speak about another victory at Dens for Dundee against Rangers. Unfortunately, Mother Nature was on Rangers' side and got the game called off.
Yeah, lucky them, eh? Lucky them, they were in for a doing, mate.
I tell you.
Just off the back of their defeat, you know, against Benfica out the cup, you know, their heads are down for injuries. They shat it, mate.
Aye. Supposedly, they've paid a couple of Neds to jump in the Dens Park at night and get a couple of hoses and just start spraying the pitch with water. But here, that's a hearsay. And then Don Roberts was at the lodge last night and got to help get
that game off. It's a great thing, mate. Don't shoot the messengers. Don't shoot the messengers at all.
In all seriousness, it's
no smoke without fire. Do you know what I mean, mate?
Exactly. Even though we're the ones that are causing the fire, to be honest, I mean, we've spoke about postponements loads on this podcast and reasons why the pitch is potentially becoming like that. But
We should rename the podcast just to up with the postponements.
Up with the postponements. Up with the postponements. Yes. Welcome to episode 85 of Up with the Postponements, introduced by the Wet Bandits.
But sorry to interrupt, Danny. Carry on. I don't even know where you were going.
That's as far as I was going with that, to be honest.
It is embarrassing, though, mate. And we've spoke about it umpteen times, man. And see, for me, I've seen a few people saying it, but I wouldn't mind just somebody somewhere coming out and saying, "This is what's wrong," instead of Abdi speculating. Oh, it's the drainage. Oh, it's the soil. It's the Dundee.
It's happened too much now. We must know exactly why it's not happening. Like this, could we just come out and just say, "Look, this is the reason," or we've been putting all our money on going to what in the new camp are you getting built, that it's been limited funds for the pitch, or maybe that's not the case. We didn't care. And I think as fans, we've kind of got a right to know, I think, now of these situations, because it's, like you say, that's the fourth game. Is it the fourth game?
I've lost count of many games have been postponed, or ones that have been potentially getting postponed and have went ahead. I've lost count, mate. Fed up at it.
I know it's because it's then going to be a build up for the remaining fixtures after the international break. And to be honest, I would have liked this game to have been out the way, because the run of games that we've got after the international break are all winnable games, and have the second best team in Scotland coming up to Dens in between it. And the way we've kind of played against Old Firm teams this season, is they appealing? And you kind of want this game out the way, really, because if we're going to get beat, we'll get beat, fair enough. If we get something, happy days. Yep. But the most realistic outcome would be we're not getting nothing for it. So this game, we'd love to just get it out the way, then get into the St Johnston, Motherwell, Aberdeen games and look at just build up a bit of pace and form here.
That's it, mate. And I mean, I think, I know I kind of joked on it earlier about, you know, them getting put out for Benfica in a cup and that, and heads probably would have been down, a few injuries, it might have been a good time to play them. But I'm kind of the same in mindset of you, mate. I would just want to get this game over and done with and then move on to those three winnable games. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We've got that break coming up. Boys coming hopefully back from injury, or injuries easing for ourselves. We wrestle, do some of the boys good, and then just hitting the hit the ground running against those three, but pff, it's just, I mean, when's that game going to get played, mate? It's got to be the first or second week in April, but then the first week Rangers have got, I'm sure they've got Celtic on the weekend, in the first weekend in April, so they'll probably not want to play, no, they don't want to play Dundee before they play Celtic, but you know what I mean?
That's where the paranoia kicks in, because I've already seen comments like this on social media saying, I bet you that they put the Dundee game in between the Hibs game and the Celtic game for them, no realising that we also, if that went there, we also would have a game in between Motherwell and St Johnstone.
Yep.
You know, and it's games that we need to win to get in the top six. So
they're the hardest done by, though, mate. They're the hardest done by.
I know.
There's no two teams affected here. It's just the one. It's just the one.
I mean, some of the comments as well, the manager, Philip Clement, going on about the kit man gave them the news. I take it then we've got social media because Dundee had posted that online.
No.
Even their statement, putting out a statement to say a statement was incoming, and then saying that there was thousands already outside the stadium. Get the fuck, there wasn't any thousands in the stadium, outside the stadium.
I just feel sorry for, you know, some of their fans. You know, obviously they're making the long journey from Govan, and you know there was even ones, Danny from Plymouth and Peterborough and Blackburn. You know, so safe journey home, guys. Safe journey home. I hated that I don't even know who put that statement out. That wee tweet thing, or was it on Instagram or something? There was thousands outside, and it was like, mate, it was 10:30. Like, why were your thousands outside the dens at that time?
But the thing is, I didn't mind taking the blows here, because we really should be getting this game on. And I know John Nelms was in the BBC News saying they were expecting, was it 6 mil of rainfall to fall, and ended up being double that. And boys had been out there for God knows how long. We've seen boys out there that we know on the pitch. Yeah, it's our own fault. The game's, well, I say it was our own fault. Mother Nature's played a big part in it, but
this is the thing, Danny. Whose fault is it? It's all fine and well blaming Mother Nature for rain, and we do live in Scotland. Get what I mean? But like,
I know.
Is it the pitch? Is it the drainage? Is it a combination of the two? Who's wanting to step up and get it resolved? It seems like nobody to me personally. I was starting to think about like pure like old school like geography when I was back in high school. Like when you think of like the, obviously you've got the grass and the topsoil, and then there's the soil underneath it that's like the pure clay in that. Maybe Dens has got too much clay in it, so the water isn't actually getting anywhere. You never know, and then the topsoil's becoming saturated and then it's waterlogged.
You should be digging up the pitch and putting like loads of boulders and stones in and getting the natural drainage and then the clay.
Danny, let's do it. We'll do it in the summer. It's true though. See what I mean? See, I've just sparked a little memory of your geography at high school, haven't I?
I didn't even take geography. That's the weird thing about it.
See, it's just common sense, Danny.
That's it.
But that, I mean, like I said, there's probably loads of fingers getting pointed at who's to blame, but nobody's actually stepping up by the looks of things from what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. Going, look, let's get it fixed. But I think the word for it is embarrassing. But see, when you seen the photo, I don't know who put the photo, somebody put it in the chat, I don't know who took the original photo down, but I counted 6 areas that were affected. Do you know what I mean? That had sand on them. And I don't ever remember it being that much. I remember a time, like Charlie Adam was playing at the time, I always remember that. And then the dugout, opposite the dugout, you started to notice that, and you're like, what the hell's going on there? And then all of a sudden, it's all these other patches that have just happened. The pitch is fucked. It is. I'm sorry. It is fucked. Move it to Tannadice.
Find them. I mean, to be fair, I mean, you do wonder if the SFA, SPFL, whoever it is that will deal with this, might look at Dundee and say, look, how many times is this going to happen to you? Like, there's got to be a repercussion as well.
Mm-hmm.
Did it happen to Motherwell a couple of years ago? Or, you know, that was the last team that had something done to it was Motherwell. And I think it was like a suspended, you know, fine or whatever. And had to get their act together. There was,
were they no grim sharing? Were they no grim sharing with a team or something? Or like, there was a rugby team playing on at the same, well, not the same time, obviously, but I remember their pitch being an absolute fucking state. But their pitch is incredible now.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's absolutely incredible. But it's not in the same area. And it's not got the same soil. And blah, 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 blah. People going, ah, there was games in Australia that got played the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Give me strength, honestly. It's just, but yeah, like I said, see, from a fan's point of view, it's embarrassing. It is. Mm-hmm. And then an outsider looking in just going, tin pot as fuck. I hate that word, tin pot, eh? But then it's...
When somebody says it now, it's hard to, because of the situation, it's hard to argue back. Like, normally you
find a reason
to argue, and it's like, can what, look, here, chaps, you've got it.
When you've got people going, Dundee's version of footman penalty at Rangers is pitch inspection. Do you know what I mean? When Abdi's jumping on it, that's just fucking shite.
Always blame, I totally blame the Twitter user, Watto. Because remember, there was one game and he put the groundsman where they got a game on Atlantis put on. And ever since then, it's been utter shit. He jinxed it. Every time you get a game postponed,
it's his fault.
Yes, he gets quoted. His tweet comes out. It's his fault.
It's 100% his fault.
Let's not go on about like geography and, you know, like you think, grass and drainage and soils and all that. It's that Twitter user that's done it.
It is. It's his fault. It's his fault.
Though he's quite funny.
He is funny. We'll let him off. But this whole, like, it probably will come to that point where there might be fines and stuff. I don't agree with, like, the pure points deduction and forfeit 3-0 victory.
Never heard of that.
Honestly, get a grip. But, you know, fines could be a thing. But then I just hope Dundee can produce the evidence to say, look, this is what we have done to prevent this. At this time, we did this, and at that time, we did that, da, da, da. But knowing the SFA, seeing as they hate us, they'll probably just fine us anyway.
Whatever happens, mate, I think in the summer, there will have to be money spent on that pitch. There will be, because you kind of keep going on, no, it's a top-flight team. Let's be serious about it. As a top-flight team, we're going to keep paying this no matter what the problem is. The problem has to get sorted. Regardless, I know people have said the drainage that goes on the Dens Road could be the council that are involved with it. If that's the case, get onto the blower with them and get them to help. If it's no, spend the money to stop this happening and stop. It has became a bit of a laughing stock, to be fair. People's waiting on match fucking inspection getting put out, then match postponement. Like you said, it's on par with Rangers penalty. And that gets ridiculed all the time because it happens all the time. There you go.
It's just becoming a farce. Slightest bit of rain and, I mean, no slightest bit of rain, but, you know, it was heavy. But yeah, fair, you know, Nelms came out and was like, yeah, let's, you know, the game could have went ahead come 3 o'clock. See, 3 o'clock, it was pishing down again.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was like, kind of, I'm glad I never went ahead at 3 o'clock.
Glad it called off at half time. Dundee 1-0 up.
Yeah, double postponed. Double postponed in a day. But you know what? I've got to take my hat off to the boys that try to get this game on, to be fair. There's people out there on the pitch that me and Paul know. And I even think Nelson said that he was out there. I think one pitcher had about 8 boys on the pitch.
Boys in different areas of the pitch. You know, you would generally think it's just going to be one part of the pitch, but like I touched on earlier, there were 6 spots that were fucked. Mate, maybe they should. You know what they should do, Danny? Just employ me for the summer as a consultant for the soil, and that, you know, and I'll sort it out.
But I can imagine you doing that. You'd end up getting like a wee deck chair with a cooler, with your beers, and you just like employ people cash in hand to do a shit job.
Just point my finger somewhere. Yeah, what about that spot, mate? Off you pop.
Get some grass on that. That's fine. That's
get it done next half hour, you'll get a beer, son. I'm lying, they wouldn't get a beer.
And that's what'll make them work even harder, because you'll say next time.
It's an incentive.
There you go.
Yep.
But listen, we're not here to speak about Dundee's pitch or this game against Rangers all podcast, we will end it on a high note. We will end it on a, as we're saying it, a 1-0 pump in Aberdeen.
That's exactly what it was. So that's exactly what it was, mate.
Paul, I've got to say, it's one of the worst Aberdeen sides I've seen rock up to Dens in many years. So disjointed, the players never, didn't they look like they knew what to do? They looked like they were maybe scared to make like a go at it either. Mm-hmm. They had a big travelling support. Really surprised, but not surprised, because they do normally bring down a big support. But in midweek, the way they're playing, I think it ended up being, I think, 10 games without a win, or 11 games without a win in the league.
Mm-hmm.
After beating them, actually, so it would have been 10 games without a win coming down to Dundee. Fair play to them for all coming down, but you've got to look at that and think every single one of them fans were looked down badly by the team.
Absolutely.
The that were put on. But that's not to say that Dundee never helped along the way and then producing a bad performance, because we started off brightly, and it's, if we had our shooting boots on, it would have been a lot more than 1-0 for Dundee.
Absolutely, mate. And the thing is, see, for me, that was a total team performance as well. Eh? You could have picked out multiple man of the matches. You really could have done. But I think the performance merited a bigger victory. Eh? I really did. I remember Doc touching on it, and we were all screaming about it like at the start of the season and everything. A bit of composure in the final third. Maybe a wee bit more composure. It could have been about 4 or 5. But I think look, 1-0. I say it all the time, Danny. Well, no victories every week. I'll take them.
Mm-hmm. Aye, so we'll speak about the goal. So, we all thought Tiffany couldn't put his chance away. You know, if he just got a bit of connection, we'd have went in. It just felt like anything we were getting up top in front of goal, it's just, you know, scrumming away for the post for going over that goal line. And it felt like another big missed opportunity, but then the ref goes to VAR. And as soon as that happens, you kind of do think to yourself, nobody's seen much. I heard a few boys shouting down the road for me in the coxie, penalty, but that was it. But then a lot of people shout for penalties when something, you know, there's jumps in the box.
Yeah.
But the fact that he was called to listen to something, you did think, oh, there must be something in this then, because nobody's done nothing. So something's went, you know, unchallenged. It took so long. Even going to the monitor, though, it was a bit of a shambles. And when he did point to that spot, that's all we needed. But when you see it, though, it's two there's two chances at a penalty there. Yeah, it's
one just
why it took so long. Yeah, the shoving the back and also keeping his arm up and the ball hitting him, and by the letter of the law, it's a penalty because he's got his arm up like that on the Dundee player, and it's hot it. It's thankful for once for VAR for that, because I mean, I still think we would have broke them down eventually, but
we would have done.
It eased the nerves a wee bit, because Aberdeen came out in that second half a little bit more jumpy, you know, wee bit guns blazing. Even though there was no much end product for them, they were trying to hear a wee go of it, so that just kind of knocked them a lot when we got that penalty. And Luke McEwen again for the spot. Was it the third? Could that be the third home game in a row that we've been given a penalty and he's knocked it in?
Penalty at Dundee. Yep, could be, mate. Could be. It's funny you touched on that there with Aberdeen like having a good go at it, because I remember obviously the first half they were absolutely louping, eh? And rightfully you've said that, because they were stinking. And then when they came out, they'd obviously had their arses booted, eh? Or they'd been either arses booted or given a little bit of encouragement, because like you touched on there as well, they looked a wee bit nervous, just disjointed. And I remember turning around to the, Ken, we've got the clock at the dairy, it's like above the bit of the scoreboard.
Yeah.
55 minutes. And I was like, ah, Dad, I turned to my old boy, I was like, that's there 10 minutes. God, it sounded like him there. I was like, that's there 10 minutes. And it was, that was their opportunity, because they had maybe a chance or two, and then they just, again, their arses collapsed. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what was your question again? Is that the third one? I'll just say yeah.
Yeah, just say yeah.
What a penalty, though.
Really good one.
Side to what he's went to. Ah, will be the third, actually, yeah.
It's also the keeper must have done his homework, because he went to the same side that McCombs went to the last two times. Because when he did get it, I just think to myself, oh, is he going to go the same bit? Because at one point, Lyle Cameron does this all the time. He holds the ball.
Oh, mate.
But see, because I had the fear that McCombs was going to miss it, because I thought the keeper was going to go the right way, I was actually thinking to myself, why did we just not get the Cameron? I was in two minds. I didn't ken.
Mate, no. See, obviously the keeper's hacked off that the penalty's been given. The keeper's got the ball but under his arm. See, when Lyle Cameron went up to him to get the ball off him, it was like, mister, can I get my ball back, please? That's what it was like. He was just pushing him to the side. But Kimmel was cool as fuck. Lyle takes the ball. And I'm no joking you, from what I remember, he just swaggered up to McCown and went, here you are, mate. It was just class. It was cool.
He got it. He stood with it for a wee while, because obviously there was a wee bit of a thingy for the Aberdeen players disputing the penalty given. Obviously the keeper was a wee bit of an arse about it as well. To be fair, he should have been probably booked because he was withholding the ball, no giving it to Dundee player. And Cameron had it in the middle, and then everybody's kind of thinking, is he going to? And then it's like whenever the dust is settling a wee bit, he just turns around and gives it to McCowan. And it sounds bad saying it as well, but there was a wee bit of relief, even though I just said I wouldn't have been against him taking it. There was a wee bit, because I'm thinking, I think we need to give Cameron a penalty in a game that we're like 3-0 up and we're giving a penalty. Give it to Cameron just so that he can put it in the back of the net and get the monkey off his back for the last few that he's taken.
Yeah, definitely. But I just loved the way he went up to the keeper and got the ball off him, or tried to get the ball off him. Mister! It was brilliant.
Can the keeper's cutting his hand out to Cameron's head and Cameron's just swinging.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was like. It was funny though. There was a wee laddie in front of me, he was recording, obviously I'm taking a penalty, and he'll play that video, and I'm telling you, you'll hear me going, keeper's left bottom C. He fucking did. What a penalty, man. Fucking class penalty.
But, really good penalty.
Ugh, man. I'm trying to think even what happened prior to that in the first half. Chances galore, man.
Aye, so you had the one with Cameron when he slid in to try and get the ball, but it was a hard one. What was it? I think there was another one, Tiffany.
There was a ball dinked into the box and Maine was kind of off balance. I thought you should have buried that.
I think there's one with Tiffany where he should have took it on his left instead of trying to get it on his stronger foot, his right. Yeah. There was a good few on Cameron.
Dodson rifled a ball that the keeper touched over the bar.
That was a good one.
Not really a chance though, but it was a good shot. Like,
good game for him.
Very good game from him. Good tackles.
I think it was a good game for everybody, but I'm always going to be impressed with Dundee's midfield. So McCowan and Cameron in the middle of that park.
And Silla.
Silla there as well. He just lets them to, you know, them
just lets them play.
Express
themselves.
Yeah, I am thinking, like, see if you looked at Dundee's midfield, it looks quite unorthodox compared to other ones. So you got big, huge Silla, right? You think doesn't look out of place. And you've got McCowan and you've got Cameron, and you would think centre, the midfield, nah, no them. Tell you what though, they fucking put themselves about. Their appearance is deceiving to some boys, I think. Especially
it's their
Cameron.
Movement, mate. It's not just Cameron and McCowan's movement. It's Silla's movement. He's all over the place.
Silla
and
he wins fucking everything.
He wins everything. Yeah. Like in the air, on the deck, he's got great wee touches, class vision. But like I says, he's the big bad big brother. And if anybody's coming at them, he's going through them and right, there you go, bro. There you go. Give them the ball and let them express themselves. And Cameron, it was one of Cameron's best performances, man. He was choking for a goal, though, eh? He was choking for it.
Because it had took him maybe chances he had.
I think so. He had one in the second half where, he rifled it and it went to the keeper. And then, did they not fuck it after that? And then Maine had a chance. And he should have probably took it in and scored.
But he looked knackered at that point. I think maybe could have had an extra touch, but I think I didn't kind of if he had the legs on him to take it though. If he was, you know,
I thought he had a good game.
I thought he did as well. But
chases Abdi down as well. That's another boy that's chasing Abdi down. But I'd love how you've touched on the midfield. See the midfield. I wouldn't be changing that for the rest of the games there. At all.
No, and it's quite a shame on, like you say, your Boateng. Boy's been amazing, but Silla's your player. You know, we signed him on a contract, and if he's playing like that, then he's got to be playing. But I think he offers that wee bit extra more than Boateng. He's got that surge going forward. He was just all over the shop. He was winning headers, tackles, and catching up on boys, just bullying boys in midfield. And there was
Wins
one.
Everyone.
he made one mistake in that whole game. The ball came to him. I think he tried to chest it to a Dundee player, but he gave it to an Aberdeen player and then ran all the way back and won the ball.
I remember that. I totally forgot about that.
And it was like, this man here, honestly, if I'd ever had a wife, he's the one.
Oh, man, he'd destroy you, like.
Sliding tackle right into my heart. He already has. He has.
I like how you touched on wee Dodgson having a good game. He did have a good game. I noticed in the second half, no, the first half actually, he's still doing that thing where he's leaving the hand on the back of players. I really wish he would just stop doing that. Doing it, mate. Or backing into boys when they're up for a header. Do you know, like, you'll get a foul against you, mate. Just get rid of that, and he looks a player. He looks a player. But yeah, nah, to a man, every single man on that pitch, we could have been man of the match. Fucking McCracken in that. McCracken was doing pure Spironi. He was getting the ball back to him, going to dink it up the pitch. He fucking skinned Aberdeen boy. He was Aberdeen's pure ole. And see him as well. See him coming out and commanding his box. In the second half, he got absolutely destroyed. The boy was dinked in. He came out and he punched it. And I think it was Duke went right through him. And then Aberdeen, the referee and the linesman couldn't give a flying fuck about it. And then dinked the ball back in and he basically collected the ball and then he's turning around to the linesman going, geez, a minute, my chest fucked. Come on, I mean?
Yeah.
What a keeper, aye. What a keeper. The linesmen were shocking, though. But especially the one at the Derry side, he was absolutely shocking. But, yeah, good 1-0. 1-0 trouncing.
That's a weird one saying that, isn't it? But it was. It's a pity we couldn't really put them to the sword because we rarely, rarely give Aberdeen a beating nowadays, especially at Dens. I think if you go back to, I think, October 16th, 2021, we beat them 2-1. And then after that, it's a way back to, in the league, it would be, Jesus, I keep scrolling back here, 2004, December the 18th, 2004, right, we've beat them in the League Cup and the Scottish Cup in between that, but in the league purely alone, 2004.
Was that a win to nil?
It was. Do bear with me here. I'll just
sure the commentator on Sportscene said something along the lines of, that's the first Dundee win to nil against Aberdeen since, was it then?
Yeah, and it was a Neil Barrett goal in the 57th minute. And the highlights are on the archive. Look at it because it's an absolutely fucking screamer of a goal. It's been missing for ages, and I think again another Twitter user, Russell Hutchinson, has been asking for it all the time. And I think at one point Tommy Young found it and posted the goal, but I've managed to get a good whack of the highlights and pop it on. But again, you only want to watch it for the goal, to be honest. You didn't know bother about the 5 minutes at either side of it. But have a look at that. But yeah, I mean, as good as well, we obviously moved back into the top six. Obviously, it was only for a few days. We Hibs result yesterday, trouncing Livy 3-0. We moved back down to seventh, but
we're just biding our time, son. We're biding our time.
Yeah. You know what I mean? There's not much else to speak about this pod. We've spoke about the postponement. We spoke about the Aberdeen game. We know what we've got to do after the international break. I know it's weird saying it after today's happenings, you know. It's still positive going into this. Regardless of what Mother Nature, what the weather's done to Dens Park, you're still positive going into these last, was it four games, is it?
Four.
Yeah, still positive going into them. And even if we didn't make top six, I'll be a bit disappointed. yeah. Here, bear with me, okay? Right, I can your views. But I'll be in the market. I'll also be disappointed, but I feel like we're probably going to push whoever gets it all the way. And again, I don't like using the new club fine because I think the last podcast said we need to put that in the bin. But I think if you look at it like that, I mean, I didn't use it after a defeat is what I'm saying. But if you're looking at it as we have a finish, I'm going to shut up because
we just keep contradicting ourselves. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Didn't use it after a defeat because it annoys us, but we can use it.
It after a postponement.
Yeah.
We're the new club, you know. We're the new club. We didn't care about rain. But see how for me, Danny, I mean, the team looked against Aberdeen, they looked fresh. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. After that wee break of the Scottish Cup. So, look, we're going to have another wee break with international games with Scotland against, was it Holland, Netherlands and Northern Ireland. So we're going to have that other wee break, and then we're going into these, well, we would have been obviously going into those three games, but now it'll be those four games. That see the Rangers one, just get it to fuck. Just fucking field. Oh no, we can't field a weekend team because they'll probably get fined or something again. I'm sure that's happened before, but just get that game to fuck and see the other three, go for it. Just absolutely go for it. Because, yeah, I still think we can sneak it. And you're absolutely spot on. I think we'll, I think there'll be a few teams going for that sixth spot, you know?
There is, mate. Yep.
There definitely is. But I think we're the strongest.
Yeah, well, there you go. Famous to Pauldry. We're the strongest team after five other ones.
Yeah. Yeah. We're the strongest team in sixth, seventh, and eighth.
Yeah. Take it away. Take him to the top five.
Yeah, get into the top five. We're the strongest.
Well, come on, Paul. I think there's not much else for us to say, to be honest. We'll leave it as that. We'll be back to preview the... It's in Johnston, isn't it, on the 30th?
It certainly is, sir. Back. Certainly is.
And we'll come back and do a wee pod to preview that. I don't know again why, because... be nothing to speak about. Well, you never know. The consultation on the stadium ended on Saturday. So anybody that's got their objections or the for or against had to get that in. So we'll just see what happens there. We'll see if people who love insects get their way, because that was a hell of a... Actually, yeah, that was a hell of an article.
That was something else. It ticked all the boxes, mate.
People standing with a plastic bag in the middle of a unkept field that nobody is going to be going on because it's unkept, and moaning about insects. Aye, moaning about insects. It's like, no. You've stood on that one bit. If you like going to that when you've got the rest of campy to go on, there's, something.
Something no right there. Something definitely not right. Are you okay?
If you like standing in weeds.
Yeah, just the articles that came out were spectacular, and like I says, mate, they just ticked all the boxes as to what I was expecting. Eh? It was nice to see the Dundee United Civic Trust putting their Tubbinsworth in as well. You know, I've heard stories about their board members as well. You know, but anyway,
we will see how this pans out. But yeah, they've. Like Paul says, all the stories expected to come out before this to tick the boxes. You know, it was like the bingo card.
Oh, there's more to come, mate. There's more to come. Like, I can't wait. Just sit back and with a popcorn. Brilliant.
And then we'll welcome back Paul's, was it Hurry Henry?
Oh, Hurry Henry will be back. Like,
he won't be. Go and give one now. Go on. Give one for the fans. Go on. Put it on the spot. Come on.
Nah. The last thing was off the cuff, eh? I'm walking my spaniel in amongst this dog shite. You're taking that away from me, for fuck's sake.
Oh, the insects.
Bloody love these insects. And the ants. Big Mo Cell, I fucking hate the ants. Anyway.
There we go. And on that note, we will leave you yet. But Paul, thanks very much for delighting us again with your presence and your talk and your impersonations.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks very much for our sponsors, Hilton Electricals, and all the fans that obviously listen and download this podcast. And we'll see you back in a couple of weeks.